It's Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up today at 6 on 1A+, new data show younger women in some big cities now earn slightly more than men of the same age. How much is changing in the fight for equal pay? Find out more today at 6 on 1A+. Now, we often celebrate creativity, but what if you feel like you're just not the creative type? Our next guest says, hey, you may not be giving yourself enough credit for the less obvious ways your creativity comes out. And he says creative people aren't just born that way. You can learn to be more creative, too. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What does creativity look like in your own life? Do you have a creative outlet, big or small? Has the pandemic led you to be more creative in your parenting, staying connected to loved ones, your work, how you have fun? How often do you go outside your comfort zone? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Matt Richtel is a science reporter for the New York Times. His new book out today is called Inspired, Understanding Creativity, A Journey Through Art, Science, and the Soul. Matt, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob. How are you?
Good. You've followed this subject for a long time. I've talked to you a little bit about creativity in the past. What is so interesting to you about figuring out our creativity?
Well, I'll give you a quick answer, and then I want to ask you a question and maybe ask listeners to do the same thing. Oh, yeah.
I asked the questions here.
How come I can't be the host? That seems more creative. Do you ever have that feeling where you get an idea and then you are inspired? You think it might be the best idea you've ever heard. You're in a vacuum of inspiration and you're just going to go for it. Does that resonate?
Not the best idea, but yeah, sometimes I think I got a pretty good idea.
You got a pretty good idea. Well, for whatever reason, sometime in after my 20s, I started getting hit with all these ideas. I created a syndicated comic strip and wrote 10 books and wrote a bunch of songs and whatever's happened at the New York Times. And I started to get interested in what that feeling was that drives so many people. And so I looked to science. And I look to great creators in the book. I talk to Yo-Yo Ma, Judd Apatow, Steve Kerr of the Warriors, you know, go down the list of all these great creators to figure out, is there something biological and fundamental about creativity? And what the heck is it?
Well, I want to spoil the answer here, but yes, it sounds like if I read you right, there is something in our, like as humans, in our DNA that makes creativity happen. Like you talk to scientists, why would we evolve to have this creativity?
Yeah. And I even went all the way into the lab looking at bacteria and how they respond when bombarded by a threat and how they create their way out of the situation. And without giving so much of it away, discovered ultimately that there is a deep biological underpinning to our creative urges and then traced that forward to how that plays out in our own lives.
All right. So we got little kids. They're creative as heck. We all are. But you write about something you call the fourth grade slump. What happens to us in fourth grade?
Yeah, I went and looked at this research that started about in the 1950s, where researchers were trying to figure out what makes us creative and what hampers our creativity. And it was a period of time, Rob, where we were beginning to ask as a society, what is this thing called creativity? We value it a lot. Why does it seem so elusive? And here's why. When you're a little kid, ideas flow through you without judgment. Somewhere around fourth grade, the research shows, creative explosions start to actually diminish. Now, why would that be? Well, it's right around this time that young people begin to internalize rules before they internalize impulses. So, Rob, when you're raising kids as I'm doing, and I don't know what your situation is, I promise not to ask any deeply personal questions.
I got a pair of them, first year of college.
You
now.
Got a pair. Okay, so do these sentences resonate? Don't run into the street. Don't pick your nose and eat it.
Careful
don't
on
eat
the
that
steps.
Off the floor. Tons of no's. And what it does is it conditions people to begin to say no before they begin to say yes. What is the rule that would impair me or interfere with me before I go forward? Here's the problem. Creativity at its core is an act of permission. It begins with allowing your mind to flow with ideas, oftentimes ideas that are against the status quo, against the rule system, run afoul of something you've heard. So you are conditioned from a very young age to begin to shut those down.
How do we break out of those rules?
Yeah, to be plain, this is not precisely a self-help book. This is more of a scientific journey, but I can't deny that in the end, the questions you ask are the very ones I sought to answer myself. And there are a bunch of tools we can use. I'll give you a couple of examples without going over all the studies in the book. One of them has to do with mind wandering. And believe it or not, this is something we often do and really dislike. So when people's mind wanders, actually, can I pause, Rob, and give you an exercise to explain what I mean by mind wandering?
Yeah, absolutely.
It will involve another deeply personal question.
Good, good.
Okay, here we go. Before you go to bed at night, don't kick me off the air.
I'm with you so far.
I'll say that I have these fantasies. I'm not talking about, you know, those kind of fantasies. I'm talking about various ideas that pop in my head and flow through my mind. I had a friend, for example, explain she likes to imagine herself flying. When I was a kid, I used to imagine myself in a sporting goods store where I could buy anything I wanted. Our family didn't have much money. Do you have anything like that you used to think about or think about before bed?
Oh, yeah, sure. But like, it's better if I just drift into it, though, than consciously think about it. I mean, there's different things. I like board games. I think about those a lot. I'll say
all kinds of things, okay? Now, you may not think about that as mind wandering. You may not think of that in any way as a creative impulse. But when those ideas flow through your mind without filter, that's a little bit what mind wandering feels like. Here's the thing that the research shows. It shows, one, that when your mind wanders, you often come up with ideas that may elude you otherwise. And in fact, I can cite in a second, if you want, how some great creators use that. But just for a second, take it on face. The problem, though, is that when people's mind wanders, they often stop it when they're in the middle of their day, because mind wandering sometimes goes to worry. And people feel they're being unproductive. So to cultivate that idea of permission means cultivating this idea of mind wandering and giving it a little bit more breath than we often do.
We're talking to Matt Richtel about his new book, Inspired, Understanding Creativity, A Journey Through Art, Science, and the Soul. Let's bring out a caller at 800-642-1234. Jordan is with us in Antigo. Jordan, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on this afternoon.
What did you want to tell us about?
I attended a seminar working with youth programming and youth groups, and the presenter was talking about creativity in that mindset. And the point that he brought up was very interesting, is that creativity is not something you have to dredge up out of yourself. If you think of creativity as being an expectation plus a modification. And the example that he used was soccer. Two teams, one ball, two goals. That's the expectation. But now what happens when you add a second ball? Or you add two more teams and two more goals? Or two more goals but keep the same number of teams? And all of a sudden, you have this tree of possibilities that, to the outsider, looks spontaneous and creative. But really, it's just the two simple phases of an expectation and a modification.
Jordan, thanks for that call. Matt, that reminds me, in your book, you talked to a group of young folks and gave them take a normal thing and what if. What was their answer? Something like, what if you flushed the toilet and it traveled you into space? Or something to that effect. Yeah. Is there something what our caller is saying there?
Well, there's a few things I love about Jordan's call, but I want to tell him a visceral reaction I had and explain what the science is behind it. So when he said two balls, I was like, well, no, you can't do two balls in soccer. And here's some great science. It turns out, and this was a piece that appeared in the New York Times today that excerpted from the book about why we often resist creative ideas. So explicitly, we often say, I want to be creative. I want to hire someone who's creative. But there is an implicit note. But studies will show that when they look at our subconscious feelings about creativity, they're very different than the feelings we say we have. And in fact, we subconsciously associate creativity with toxins and vomit and poison. Well, why would that be? To trace it back to Jordan's question, when we challenge the status quo, it means that we're going to have to change the way we conceptualize something. We may have to change our activities, our actions. We may have to change our whole lifestyle. And in fact, Rob, creativity often is very disruptive. So it's worth noting that we have these reactions internally that sometimes get in the way of our creativity because secretly we harbor visceral concerns about it.
Jordan, thanks for that call. We're talking to Matt Richtel, science reporter for the New York Times, author of the new book just out today. It's called Inspired, Understanding Creativity, A Journey Through Art, Science, and the Soul. Still time for you to join in at 800-642-1234. Have you found ways to be more creative, maybe over the last couple few years in particular? Or do you think you hit a stage in your life where you lost something? You couldn't harness that creativity maybe you had as a little kid? Do you have questions for our guest about the science of creativity? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. That's the song From Darkness, written and sung by our guest Matt Richtel. We're talking to him about his new book, Inspired, Understanding Creativity, A Journey Through Art, Science, and the Soul. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have an example of how you use creativity in your life? Do you feel like you got to have some kind of creative outlet? Do you feel like you lost it at some point? And have you ever solved a problem when you stopped thinking about it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Now, there you are, Matt, writing a song and singing the song. You write fiction. You mentioned a comic strip. You're a science writer. That's your day job. And a lot of us might think, okay, I'm going to stay in my lane and not try all this stuff. Why encourage us to do some of the things you've done and branch out like that?
Oh, get out of your lane, baby. And if anybody wants to hear that full song, my email is mattrichtel@gmail.com, and I will send it to you. And I'm proud of it or I believe in it? Listen, believe in yourself. But let's guide me a little bit, Rob. Where do you want me to take this?
Like songwriting, I'm a musician, right? And I feel pretty good about my musical output. I am a god-awful songwriter. I tried once. The world didn't need to hear it. How could you tell somebody in that situation, yeah, Rob, go back and try writing another song? Everybody's got probably something similar to that, that they'd be too embarrassed to share it with the world.
This is my, well, let me start with some science and come back to that answer.
Yeah.
Because you alluded to this before, another interesting study. This one looked at artists, musicians, and physicists, and asked them to write down what they were doing when they solved a problem that they were trying, a creative problem they were trying to solve. And 20% of the time, they solved it when they weren't actively thinking about it. Now, that number may not seem so high, but the researcher said to me, how many things can you point to that you actually do at your very best when you're not trying? This is an idea that came to me from a variety of creators I talked to. Gary Trudeau, who created Doonesbury, gets his ideas in the shower, and Jane Pauley, his wife, keeps a pad of paper by her bed and scribbles down the ideas when she wakes up. Salvador Dali and Einstein used to take a nap with a rock or heavy object in their hands, and when they woke up, they would have an idea at the tip of their minds. The researcher calls it a hypnagogic state between wakefulness and sleep. To answer your question, Rob, if you sat down to say, I'm going to write a song right now, I think that's putting yourself in a very difficult position. If you were to carry with yourself the idea that I'm playing with music right now and I am open to song ideas coming to me, eventually I feel very certain they would emerge. And here's why. Over time, Rob, you have internalized the shape of a song. That is not elusive to you. Verse, chorus, or verse, verse, chorus, verse, chorus. Moreover, you know how long it is, 3.5 minutes, and you know that you're probably going to use 1, 4, and 5. Sorry, those are chord progressions for those of you listening. So a lot of this has been solved. I say put it in the back of your mind and see what happens.
Excellent. Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Joy is with us in Monona. Joy, hi.
How are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Joy?
Good. I have a question that I'm going to try to make succinct. It's kind of a large area, but I'm wondering if Matt, your guest, has looked into or studied morphic resonance. It's a concept brought up by Rupert Sheldrake, an English thinker in, I think, the 60s. And anyway, it's about the concept that there's a kind of a universal unconsciousness or unconscious in the world, and that is where ideas come from. It's called morphic resonance, and it's really fascinating. And two quick examples to give you an idea of how this works is that there's records of researchers working with different kinds of monkeys around the world, and they were trying to get, one study was trying to get a matriarch to take her bananas down to the water and wash them, and then hopefully her whole clan would follow suit. Well, she wouldn't do it, she refused. But then around the world they started getting calls from researchers saying, what's going on, our matriarch, our alpha male female is taking her bananas down to water and washing them before she eats them. And now the whole group is doing that.
Joy, thanks for the example. We don't have a ton of time, but Matt, I'm not familiar with that idea, but the general idea that there is this pool of ideas out there that any of us might tap into at a given moment.
Yeah. I mean, I actually think Joy brings up a really interesting point without having studied that particular language. And I'll tie it to some science I can validate for you. There have been periods of time in human history where specific areas of the world have been really rich with creativity. Jerusalem at the year zero, Harlem, Russia, Florence, France, Silicon Valley, Hollywood. What the research will bear out is that when you have certain connections among people that are dense, you wind up getting cooperation, collaboration, competition, and ideas are in the air that really intensify the creative process. Now, that may not sound like the same thing as what Joy's describing, but in a way, it's a more physical description of how the subconscious becomes flowing through a population. I would just add, Rob, that you could make a pretty good case that we are at the most creative period in human history. And one of the reasons for that is that technology is allowing those ideas to be shared across borders, among people, across interest groups and niches. Just listen to this simple statistic. In 2018, there were 144,000 patents applied for by international collaborators. That's a little less than double from the number in 2000. So we're seeing an explosion of that kind of cooperation across the globe.
We are talking to Matt Richtel about his new book out today called Inspired: Understanding Creativity, A Journey Through Art, Science, and the Soul. Matt, earlier you mentioned that deep down, a lot of us are actually kind of scared of creativity, of novelty, of having to change the way we do things. So if someone is in charge of something, a teacher, a business manager, whatever, and they think they want creativity, how do they actually create a setting where people do get to be creative and run with it?
I just want to say that is a hugely great question that vexes scholars. And they will say that the middle managers are in one of the toughest positions and managers in all of the world. In fact, some of the research will show that when people are most in need of solutions, they're least able to accept them because the status quo feels safe at a time of great uncertainty. And so I think what it requires in the first instance is an acknowledgement that there must be a safe space for the expression of those ideas wherein the manager or leader agrees not to feel threatened by what happens. And some of those ideas will be terrible. In fact, one of the lessons of the biology of creativity and of creativity itself is that the most creative people, Einstein and Mozart and lots of others, were much better at quantity than they were at quality. There's a terrific story about Einstein that I heard where he says to a colleague, I've got it. I've got the unified field theory. And the colleague says, Albert, that's terrific, except under that theory, the universe can't exist. And people who create a lot come up with a lot of ideas, and some of them are terrible, and others are too scary, and some of them are just right, if you like your three bears analogy. And so that's what I would encourage leaders to create a safe space and recognize that quantity is where quality comes from.
It's a great place to leave it. Matt, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's New York Times science journalist Matt Richtel with us today to talk about his new book, just came out today. It's called Inspired, Understanding Creativity, A Journey Through Art, Science, and the Soul. You can share your stories of creativity. Tweet us at Central Time WPR or email centraltime@wpr.org.